This is At the Turn. It's time for discussion and interviews about the world of golf you won't hear anywhere else. Here are your hosts, Nick Heidelberger and Joe Simons.
Hello, hello. Welcome into another episode of At the Turn. Nick and Joe with you, previewing the Open Championship, the season's final major. Nick, have you identified the winner? Don't spoil it, just have you?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Well, we'll give our picks a little bit later on.
That's such an obvious question.
We'll do overrated, underrated, properly rated for the... I got to get myself in the mode of saying the Open Championship. If I call it the British Open, they're going to put me in... What do they call it? The stocks? Where like your hands and head are through the holes and they put the wooden thing on top of you?
Yeah, don't call it that. Yeah.
There is no British Open. It is the Open Championship. We are recording this a couple days before we release it, as I am headed to Scotland, and that's where I'm right now when you're listening to this. I'm in Scotland. Hopefully things are going great and it's not raining too much, but I will be attending the Open Championship. Very much looking forward to that. Please rate and review the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Let us know if you call it the British Open, the Open, something in between. What do you think of Keegan Bradley being the Ryder Cup captain? Let us know about that. What do you think about that?
Okay. I thought you were asking me. I thought you were done with the pre-interview. I got all excited. I'm like, Joe's asking me a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is great. Gosh, I'm kind of polarized by it because I love the pick in and of itself. Like, I think it's cool. It's definitely forced. Like, he was clearly snubbed, and they're like overcorrecting by taking a guy like who's competing in like the second prime of his career and just like giving him a role that people 20 years older than him typically have. I don't think it should go to somebody 20 years older than him. My problem with it is one of my favorite kind of like secondary storylines to this golf season or next golf season was, will Keegan qualify for the Ryder Cup? Because out of like spite and vengeance, like he was a man on a mission and he should have been picked and he wasn't. And it was like, okay, can he pony up enough from the tank and get it done next time? And now that storyline is kind of gone. I don't know. Is there talk of him being a playing captain? Is he going to pick himself? Is he going to qualify? Is he going to completely take himself out? Like, what's happening there?
I mean, he's one of the top 30 players in the world, so I don't think it's crazy that he considers himself for a captain's pick. I just think it's great. I think you're blowing up the cool kids who are no longer kids. You know, the Spieth, the Thomas, the Fowler, those kind of early 30, you know, millennial type guys that really haven't produced much in the way of results over the past 5 to 6 years, with the exception of Thomas kind of putting it together for one round to win the PGA Championship a couple of years ago. But I think it's great. Let's shake things up. It feels like it's been the same coterie of like 20 people. It hasn't worked. They've done well on home soil, which is what this is. But when you really think about it, Nick, it's basically either a retread of someone who wasn't very successful, Steve Stricker. You could still have Stricker in there, or you bring Tiger in. You got to save Tiger for Europe. Tiger has to be the captain on European soil. I'm so glad they decided this. You need to pull out the big cat card when it's time. This Ryder Cup matters on American soil, but it doesn't really matter until 2027. Truly. Like, you have to hold serve. You got to win in Europe. And that's when you play the Tiger card.
Well, do you think that if Keegan... But do you think they're grooming him to like lead this
to team be like Luke Donald?
Yeah, like go with an actual good strategy of like having a guy do the job more than once and like prepping him and giving him a home field advantage for his first captaincy and then letting him take that experience on the road where we actually have a chance of winning. I don't want Tiger as our captain in 2027. I think Tiger as a captain is overrated, and I think a first-time captain on the road is not a good situation.
I mean, Tiger was a victorious playing captain 5 years ago at Royal Melbourne. I know it's the
President's Cup. It's a completely different... It's a competition that we've lost in one time in the entire history of that thing, which is going on 30-something, almost 40 years.
And it didn't happen this century.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Yeah, I mean, maybe Tiger as a captain is overrated, but like the pride... Like, if you don't give a shit about the Ryder Cup like a Xander Schauffele or a Patrick Cantlay... Did you see Xander talking about the Ryder Cup this... At the time we're recording before the Scottish Open, he's just totally, well, no, of course you didn't. Nick just come back from a family trip in Connecticut, a full day layover in Chicago. Nick, you've been following Xander Schauffele's press conferences?
I've been locating the nearest like yogurt pouch for my kids for the last 36 hours. And yeah, I somehow missed Xander's comments.
I mean, he's just, I don't know, man. Him and Cantlay, I wish they did go to Liv. I'm so tired of the both of them. He just was totally nonplussed and like couldn't have given a shit less. Like they could have told him that Nancy Pelosi was the next Ryder Cup captain and he would have reacted the same way. Just such a level of disinterest. You're like, well, of course you lose in Europe. You guys do not care about this at all. And that's why I like Keegan. I want him to go in there. I want him to shake it up. I want him to make weird captain's picks. Like, throw the hot guy on there. Like, it was Lucas Glover last year who won a couple tournaments and was hot. Throw that guy on there. Forget Spieth. Like, oh, Spieth magic. What is it, 2013? What are we doing? Like, I watched highlights. They're playing crazy highlights on the Golf Channel of the British Open, and I was like, oh, yeah, Spieth. He beat Matt Kuchar in the British Open. I was like, that was 7 years ago now. Like, he did a lot of stuff a long time ago. We are far removed from Thomas, Spieth, Fowler in their primes. They're all sort of, you know, one hit wonders. Maybe they'll win a tournament here and there, but like, they're not the dominating forces. And I think with Keegan in there, you're going to have the ability to break through this impenetrable wall of these guys. I mean, we saw it on Full Swing. They all pretended to like Zach Johnson for 6 months and he gave them all captain's picks and it was a disaster.
Right. So if Keegan pushes the right buttons and like, by and large, is a resounding success, and say we have a comfortable victory at Bethpage, do you really want to pivot to Tiger for 2027, or do you want to ride this wave and let Keegan like flex on the road?
I have to see it first. I have to see a dominating, because we were saying the same thing about Steve Stricker back in 2022. Why not let him continue, or 21, I guess, whenever the hell they did it.
Yeah,
the one in Minnesota, they won by 15 points or something crazy.
Hindsight being what it is. Would have been great to have him back for the next one.
And Europe basically, you know, stamped. I don't even know if the Full Swing season was out yet. They're like, yeah, you know, Luke Donald. Yeah, we want him back in 2025, which I think is a great idea. Certainly many more. Do you have any more on this? That was really all I had.
That was it.
Okay, yeah. Much more to get to on the Ryder Cup. It is a President's Cup year. Who gives a shit? But yeah, we'll talk about the Ryder Cup.
Name the President's Cup captain.
I mean, I actually know the answer to that, but that's okay. Mike,
I was asking our listeners.
Oh, yes, of course. It's in Canada. Yes. Hey, Nick, people are still good in this world. Before we get to there's I don't think there's a handicap report. Have you played golf?
What's that?
Neither have I. I'll be playing a lot in Scotland. And so hopefully, you know, it goes down, but we'll see. Hitting bump and runs with a 5-iron from 50 yards is not my specialty. Maybe I can make a few long putts. We'll see what happens. But for now, the handicaps are the same, but by a rangefinder from Blue Tees. Nick, I got a text from Dane Delgado, the president, founder, all that of Matchstick Golf. He made me this beautiful bag tag, the Joey Bag of Donuts. We talked about it. He made it. Apparently, I was so excited about making 7 birdies that the bag tag fell off at Glendevere Golf Course. And how Dane found out about this was on Facebook Marketplace, which is now his new homepage, which is hilarious. He saw that someone posted a Joey Bag of Donuts bag tag on there and said,
"Hey,
does anyone
sell your bag tag?"
No, honestly, it said, "Whoever this belongs to, please let me know. I want to get in touch with this person." Jesse Altig, I think I pronounced your name right, Jesse, super fan of the show, also saw it, reached out to me. He's like, "Hey, man, someone's got your thing." The person somehow got my email address, sent me an email, was like, "Hey, I live in Southeast Portland by Glendevere. How do we make this happen?" I let him know I'm headed out of the country. So we're going to play golf in, I guess, a couple weeks from now, towards the end of July, start of August. And he's going to give me the bag tag back. Dane says my penalty is I have to record a bunch of Matchstick Golf videos about how to properly affix your bag tag to your bag, which I think is a small penance to get this thing back. But thank you. God. Trevor is his name. I don't know his last name, but Trevor, thank you so much. I don't know if you listen to the show, but really, really appreciate you taking care of that. There are good people left in the world. That's... Nick, ironically, after we complain about all types of golfers, the nicest one finds my bag tag.
That's so good. And sorry I blew up your story in the middle. I thought when you said Facebook Marketplace, I my mind went to the absolute worst case scenario. But that's awesome. That's so good to hear. You know, I was feeling the same vibe of there are good people in this world. We had this terrible flight itinerary and delays and layovers and all this stuff. And we had a 6 a.m. flight out of Chicago yesterday. Oof. And the gate agent at the Alaska Airlines gate was like, it was like watching Michael Jordan in his prime. Like, people would come up with questions and she would like, had clearly studied the seating assignments, was like, oh, I knew you were going to come up and ask me this question. Actually, like, one guy came up and he's like, hey, I know we're delayed. I'm just checking my connection to Phoenix. And she's like, yeah, I was looking at that for you a couple hours ago. And this is, no lie, like 6:45 in the morning. And she's like, you're never going to guess what happened. He's like, what? That flight's delayed? She's like, no, even better. It's the same aircraft. Isn't that so great? Like, every single customer, she brought this energy. Like, she had me and Ashley and Gavin's seats were all over the airplane. We were nowhere near each other. I came up to her. I was the first customer. She's like, I already got you taken care of. I saw that this was going to be a problem. She came over. She gate checked my stroller without even me asking. I was just like, oh my God, she is so on top of it. Why can't I didn't even catch her name. I wish, or else I would put it out there. But yes, speaking of good people in this world, the gate agent at O'Hare, Alaska Airlines, the Michael Jordan looking one, not looking, but acting, performing, all that stuff. It was incredible. And so she should be shouted out as well.
I love that. I love when people catch you off guard with how good they are at their job. Like, I had a pharmacy experience where someone was just like absolutely crushing it and just like typing so fast and doing like 15 things at once. And it's just like, man, why aren't you running for president? Like, there's just people in little pockets of the world that are just so good at the shit they do. It just reaffirms and makes you feel good about humanity. I'm so happy,
right?
Like, you got to experience that.
They woke up and they're like, I'm just gonna be the best damn gate agent there ever was.
Yeah.
Boom.
Congratulations, O'Hare, and to that lady, Michael Jordan. You know what? Let's take a break. We vamped a little bit. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back with the Open Championship. Okay, Nick. This game continues. Open Championship. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. We pick a thing. We say what it is. We explain why. Or we don't. It's our podcast. We can do what we want. Okay, first one. The claret jug, the trophy, overrated, underrated, properly rated.
I'm going to say properly rated. Okay. It's a pretty high rated trophy, and as it should be. Did you know? Oh my goodness!
What? I got to go to Scotland right now. I don't know. That car was not in the recording studio. That was insane. I'm so sorry, everybody. Hopefully, I found a way to edit that out.
I wouldn't worry about it. Just
Jesus. How loud was that on your end? I'm sorry to digress.
I thought someone was going to drive through your wall. I'm just glad you're okay.
The claret jug. Please continue.
Before there was a claret jug, do you know what there was?
They give out a gold medal now, so maybe a gold medal.
It was not a gold medal. It was a belt. It was a championship belt. And this is like the very first playings, like a couple of like 10, 20 years of the Open Championship. And I want to say it was young Tom Morris, but perhaps it was one of the Morris.
One of the Morris.
The rule was if you won it three times in a row, you got to keep it forever. They didn't think that was ever going to happen. So
oops,
he won it three times in a row, got to keep it. And they couldn't figure out what to do, whether they were going to make a new belt or do a trophy. So they actually canceled the British Open one year. And then they got it together and got the claret jug.
That's a great story. It's not quite as good as Walter Hagen losing the trophy and not telling anyone and winning it for like two or three more years. And so he didn't have to confess, but that's pretty great. They can't, guys, we don't have a trophy. We'll see you next July. We're not going to play this year. I'm going to say properly rated too. It is very highly rated. I do like that it is the most conducive to drinking various sorts of alcohol out of. And this brings me to a point. If you were to win a trophy where you obviously can drink out of it in celebration, how much caution do you throw to the wind before drinking out of it. Are you so jazzed up from your victory? You could not give a shit less about the potential germs, lead poisoning, whatever you want to enter there, from throwing, like, you know, a really nice Pinot in there, some Busch Light, whatever your poison is in that situation. Do you just go for it, or do you need to get that thing cleaned out? What do you do?
Well, I think you have a little bit of faith in the Royal and Ancient, or the United States Golf Association, or Augusta National, the kind folks over there. Well, I don't think you're drinking out of the big clubhouse looking trophy, but the point being, they should hand you a trophy that is worthy of drinking out of. Like, you don't hand a dirty dish, right? Like, you run it through the dishwasher and you hand them a dish and say, here's your cup for the night. So I think you have to assume it's clean. If there's time in between, you've probably got people who you could say, like, hey man, going to put a lot of booze in this thing tonight. Can you just give it the old rundown? Get some of that that spray dish detergent that just gets everything super clean. Just do a once over with that, and then you're good. I think if it looks suspect, you just, like, have somebody clean it. But I think it's got to be, like, if you're handing this trophy out, you have to know it's got to be clean.
So you think the Royal and Ancient Golf Club is doing something to disinfect the claret jug between the time they get it back from the previous year's champion before giving it to the current year's champion?
Yeah, especially in the age of social media. Like, how many videos are there of people drinking out of this thing? Like, they're not just... Well, the defending champion first should clean it before returning it, but I would not put my faith in that person. Like if Cam Smith was handing me the claret jug, I wouldn't just immediately pour a drink into it and drink out of it. But if he handed it to, like, some old white guy with a white mustache, and then that guy handed it to me, I would have no problem drinking out of it.
This is going to be, I can already tell this is going to be a breakout video, and I'm going to tag the Royal and Ancient Golf Club to see what actually is done here. These are the questions that are not being asked in other podcasts, and I love that about us.
Oh, would you be concerned? Like, do you think that it's not cleaned?
I'll tell you this much. Life is for living, and if I win the British Open, I don't really care. I mean, I by nature am a very clean person, and I'd say mild germaphobe. Nothing crazy, but, you know, I like things to be orderly. I would not give a shit. I would pour an entire goblet full of Makers in that thing and just sip on it all night and just, wow, I did it. I denied Rory a major championship yet again. The streak continues. Way to go, Joe. Nice round of golf today.
There you go.
Okay, overrated, underrated, properly rated. Calling it the Open Championship as opposed to the British Open. I'm going to say properly rated. I'm going to start this one, Nick, and I think it's fine. Look, if you are in America, you do call it the US Open. So that, I think, is the argument against this, right? There's the US Open and the British Open to distinguish the two. But look, it's the oldest one. They got there first. If they want to call it the Open Championship, then it is the Open Championship. I have no problem with it. I think it's fine. I think there's an argument that could be made that it's pretentious. I think there's an argument that could be made that the ugly Americans need to acquiesce. So that's why I think it is properly rated in the middle, the Open Championship.
I think it's a little overrated. I have no problem with people calling it the Open Championship. I think it's proper to call it the Open Championship. Where I think it's overrated is when people try to correct you if you call it the British Open and make... Like, they become these know-it-alls, and they're trying to educate you that you shouldn't be calling it the British Open. That's where it's overrated, because there's nothing wrong with calling it the British Open, other than the literal fact that it is incorrect. But ignoring that, there's nothing wrong with calling it the British Open. So when people get pissed off, it pisses me off that they're pissed off. So I think it's overrated. Call it whatever you want. It's weird having two names, not ideal, but it is what it is. When you have old stuff like this, that's just kind of a byproduct of that. So call it either or. Don't get in a tizzy either way.
This next one's going to be tough for you, Nick. Waking up early to watch the Open Championship. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated? So what I mean here, let me just give a little clarifier. Waking up earlier than you normally would for that day of the week, specifically to watch the British Open. Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
It's underrated.
Wow.
It is. I love doing things only for myself when my children are sleeping and my wife is sleeping. Because
makes sense.
Yes, it's like the perfect time to do whatever I want for until like the next person wakes up. So that's awesome. You get, even if you're not in that situation, like if you don't have young kids, like it's still awesome because during the Masters, everybody wants to watch the Masters. If you have a nice day outside, you're like, well, I should be playing golf, but I have to be watching golf. And it's just, it's tough because it's 70 degrees and it's going to be 40 for the next 2 weeks. This is totally different. Like you can watch the golf while it's still dark outside and you can go play golf if you want. It doesn't interfere with the rest of your day. Sure. Maybe you need to drink a couple extra coffees, energy drink, whatever it is, but you still get extra golf watching time. That's not eating away from a nice day, a barbecue, family activities, playing golf, whatever it is.
This is underrated. I used to be really psychotic about it when I was in high school and wake up at 3 a.m. I'm not doing that anymore, but yeah, wait, like waking up at 6 a.m. on a weekend when you usually sleep into like 8 or 9. Absolutely. Let's do it. As a matter of fact, I remember very specifically doing that for the last British Open, the Open, at Troon in 2016. It was that incredible duel between Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson where Mickelson finished in second, but he finished 11 shots ahead of third place. It was those two guys by themselves just going nuts. And it was one of the most fun duels I've ever seen. And I was trapped on my couch as a result of that. My plan was to wake up early, watch a little bit, go work out, watch the end. But so much good stuff was happening. I was just trapped on the couch for 5 hours. And it was a great morning. I never forget it. So, yes, I agree. It's very underrated.
I remember that one specifically, too. I was in Hawaii, so I think it was like 3 a.m. I woke up and actually thought I was crazy. But the other part of it is, like what you said, when you've watched it like from the beginning, you feel invested. So even if like the kids wake up or something else is going on, it's like, dude, I've been here since 3.
Yeah.
They got 2 holes left. I'm not going anywhere.
This is happening.
If you wake up like 10 minutes before everybody else, it's like, no, you don't really own this right now.
That's right. You gotta get the investment in to make sure that everyone understands the magnitude of what's happening on the couch right now with Dad. Next one, overrated, underrated, properly rated. Now we've all heard this. The champion golfer of the year. That's what they call the person who wins. The champion golfer of the year. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. You want to start?
I'll start. This one is overrated. And I'll tell you why. When Colin Morikawa won and the Canada the trophy, he botched this, you know, he was like, I'm the golfer's champion this year or something like that. Like, which is fine. Like, I don't expect him to like, you know, be so in tune with that, but it's just, again, it's another one of those, it's old, they can't really get rid of it after like 250 years, so you're not going to get rid of it. But like, if the best players in the game, and of course he's stateside, but like if they're not like living and dying by this, like you're going to compete in this tournament, and like if you're not like waking up for 364 days prior to that Sunday being like, I'm going to be the champion golfer of the year, like clearly it's a little bit of an afterthought. If it's an afterthought to them, why should I care? For me, it's overrated.
I think it's properly rated. I don't have a problem with it. You are the champion golfer of the year. You won the tournament. And the guy saying this is at the Open Championship. So you are the champion golfer of the year. He doesn't need to say the champion golfer of the year for the Open or the Open champion golfer of the year. You're just the champion golfer of the year. I think it's cute. I have no problem with it. Champion golfer of the year. Let's go.
The other thing about this is, since it's the last major now that the PGA has moved, you kind of are like the last major champion for a year, basically. Like if you win the Masters, that's great, but like 5 weeks later somebody else is like, right, you know, the latest.
We forgot about it. Yeah.
Exactly. You win the British Open, you have like 9 months to be on top.
Okay, this last one, I'm kind of changing the premise of this. So I'm going to the Open, right? Let's say on Thursday, Tiger's teeing off in 1, John Daly's teeing off on 10. Who am I trying to follow Thursday of the British Open? The Open. I'm in trouble. I'm not going to say it right. Tiger or Big John, who would you follow? Nick, help me out.
Well, I think the answer to that, I mean, the answer is there's a hierarchy. Have you ever watched Tiger play live?
Yeah.
Okay. So you probably could just do whatever you feel like doing, right? Like You have to watch Tiger to be, if you have the chance to watch Tiger and you've never watched Tiger, you have to watch Tiger. The same cannot be said about John Daly. However, if you've already ticked that box, like I've gone skydiving. I don't need to go skydiving again. It was cool. I'm glad I did it. I have.
Wow.
I don't need to do it again. Like if you've watched Tiger and there's no chance he's going to win, you don't need to like suffer through his 79, like limping around the course just because he's out there. You don't have to.
I hope my dad feels that way. I'll find out on Thursday. I mean, we saw Tiger early in his round of winning the 08 US Open, like one of his most famous victories. So tough to do much better than that. I would just like to see the circus around Big John. I'd actually like to just see how many cigarettes and Diet Cokes he gets through in a round. I think the circus would be fun. I'd pick Big John, but I do like your answer that it sort of depends on the situation.
Is Big John committed?
I mean, I think it's, he's committed as he was to his first wife. So we'll see. We'll see if he actually shows up and plays. There it is. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. That was a fun bit. Thanks for doing that all major season with me, Nick. Hey, we've correctly identified two of the first three major winners. We're going for 70. It's already our best major season to date on this podcast. But we're pushing the envelope. We're going to try to pick a third major champion. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar, we try to pick a winner, a contender, a dark horse, and live. We added a live category. Give ourselves more chances to win. And I'm
should
glad
have,
we
like,
did.
A Ryder Cup captains category, too.
I like that.
Which, well, the past and future Ryder Cup captains have
yeah.
the best
chance. Okay. I only have three people, and you have four. So why don't we start with your dark horse?
My dark horse has five top tens on the PGA Tour this year. All he does is make cuts, made 15 of 18. He's got one win and finished one win in his career, not this year. T12 at the US Open. His form hasn't been great, which I think can be a good indicator. My best golf usually comes after my worst golf. Sahith Theegala, 66-1. He's a dark horse. He's a good player. I don't think he's built for this specific course or style of play, but these guys are pros. They can they know how to adapt and adjust. So 66-1, he's my dark horse.
It's a big number for a player that good. I mean, he's top 15 in the world. 66-1 is, let me say what you want about the OWGR, there's still some merit to it, right? It's just like a non-live ranking basically at this point. I love that. That's great. I'll go to my dark horse. So, a slow start to the season for this guy, showing form as of late. Two top fours in the last 5 weeks, including a playoff loss at the Travelers. He finished tied for second at last year's Open Championship. I mean, that was, you know, about as backdoory a T2 as you can get at the Open. He finished like seven shots back of Harmon in like a six-way tie. But by God, he did it. I got him at 50-1. Tommy Kim. Tom Kim, 50-1. We'll see what happens.
Pretty good.
And he's played, look, he's played well at the Scottish Open in the past, so he has a good record on these types of golf courses. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what he does.
That's the biggest discount you could give a second place finish at a major imaginable. But
oh, dude, I know, truly.
Okay, I've got a live guy here, Joe, and he's the only multiple-time live winner on live this season. In nine live events this year, he's been in the top 10 seven times. He's got five top fives. Joaquin Neiman is still only 25 years old somehow, and he's 25-1.
Can I ask you a question? Are you 100% sure Joaquin Neiman is playing in the British Open?
Well, I got odds on him. I figure all the guys who have odds on VegasInsider.com are in the field. You do not seem convinced. Oh, he's in the field.
I'm almost positive he's in the field too. I just know you well enough to know that you didn't 100% check. So
I did check. I did
you
check.
Did?
I was on OpenChampionship.com or whatever.
Oh, okay. It's BritishOpen.org. I think it's the website. Okay.
Theopen.com.
Of course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you want to vamp for a second to make sure he's in the field, or should I move on to my contender?
He's in the field.
Oh, okay. 25-1. Yeah, I mean, give it a try. Sure. Let's see what happens.
25-1, he's even qualified.
I have one guy for Contender and Live. It's the same dude. A recent winner on the Live Tour. How about that? Top 10 at the Masters. He was in the mix for 3 days at the U.S. Open, and we don't have to talk about Sunday. He's a European Ryder Cup stalwart. He finished T5 at Troon in 2016. A bit of Tom Kim there, he finished. T5 at Troon. How many shots back do you think he finished, Nick, of the winner?
I'll say five.
15!
Oh, at Troon in 2016, yeah.
Yeah. Troon in 2016. I got Tyrrell, don't call me Tyrrell Hatton, at 30-1. Look, this guy has a reasonable majors record. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. It feels like he's in the mix a lot now at majors and big tournaments. I try to conjure up an image of somebody who I think, when I look at the leaderboard, a name that I see on there, and I could just envision Tyrrell Hatton contending or winning an Open Championship.
The only way I can see him winning is if he shoots like 61 on Sunday. I don't see him
that's
like
a great point front running
being being in the last group or like the penultimate group and like posting 66 and getting it done by two strokes. Like that scenario is just a little too far fetched for me. Maybe it'd be fun to watch for sure.
I think it's either that or it's one of those like Brian Harman type weeks where it's just a wire to wire winner and he just has like a 4-shot lead after the second round and he extends it to 6 on Saturday and it's like, well, is this guy going to blow it or win by a million? Like, I think those two scenarios are probably how he gets it done. I think you're right. Him grinding away with, you know, Scotty and Rory in the last two groups, it doesn't feel like he's going to outlast those two.
Right. Okay. Now you can let me know if this is cheating or not, because I have a contender, but he's also a Live player. But
I think you can pick four Live players. No. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine. That's right. I'm not picking four, but
good.
Here we go. It's Brooks Koepka. Like I'm not going to bury the lead. It's Brooks Koepka, 28-1. He's got a win in three top tens in his last four Live starts. He's probably annoyed that Bryson just won a major and Bryson's like now a fan favorite and he's getting all this attention. And it's like Brooks would be the kind of guy that would motivate more than just like, you know, golf in and of itself. So given that he's a good player and Bryson currently has better stature and status among golf fans than Brooks right now, I think Brooks is a contender to win this major.
I love that angle. I love the angle of Bryson's annoying him again because he's so successful and popular all of a sudden, and that's going to motivate Brooks to get it done. I think this is one of those where it's like you put a little bit on Brooks to win, you put a little bit on him to miss the cut. You know, it's like he's either always way up there or you don't even think about him for an entire week. But the guy has five majors, and if you're getting 28-1, he has the most majors of anybody, like, in the last, since 2010, probably? He has the most majors of anybody. Easily, certainly. Yeah. It's,
I think, like, the only active player other than Tiger with more majors is Phil.
Yeah, is Phil so still like, active?
Exactly. Like, if you're not counting Tiger and Phil, he's got the most majors of any active player.
All right.
Feels active in something, but who knows? It's golf.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Okay, you got Brooksy. Okay, full disclosure. I had Xander to win this golf tournament, and then I watched him play around at the Scottish Open, and I could not see someone more disinterested in playing good golf than this guy. It was truly remarkable how little he cared about what was going on. Just the classic, like, as soon as he hits a putt from 30 feet, he starts walking, just like that sort of negative body language. So I immediately jettison him out of there. My pick to win has made every cut. Outside of the top 25, just twice. Three wins this season. Second at the U.S. Open. Plays great at the Open Championship. Six top fives in 14 starts at the Open, including a win. This guy's won the British Open. He was also T5 at Troon in 2016, finishing 15 shots back at 7-1. It ends here, Nick. Rory McIlroy. It ends here. He does it. Let's go. The guy puts himself in position all the time. Eventually, it's going to happen. He just keeps putting himself in positions. As long as he keeps doing that, eventually he's going. This guy's not going to go the rest of his career without winning a major. It's just not going to happen. It's not possible.
Rory 2.0 is trying to shed the title of greatest player without a major. This could be the week he does it.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Been a decade.
All right. I mean, the guy who we obviously know is going to win this thing. Vegas knows he's going to win. His 4.5-1. Don't put a dime on him. He refuses to take paternity leave. He's won 6 of 15 starts this season, which means that when he tees it up in a golf tournament, he has a better chance of winning than the Oakland A's do on any given night.
Wow.
Scotty Scheffler.
Wow. Yeah. You're brave. You're a brave man. I love it. We picked the number 1 and 2 players in the world. It'll probably
You don't get style points here.
Brendan Todd is your 2024 Open champion. Okay. Well, we picked about a third of the field. Hopefully one of these guys comes through.
Well, you know what? I was going to pick Richard Bland as a dark horse. He's been hot.
Why didn't you do that? Now there's
he's not in the field. This is why I did mad research. He's not even winning the U.S. Senior Open does not get you into the British Open. Who knew?
Has anyone the last two senior majors? Can't sniff a top 10.
He's great. Yeah.
Okay. Let's put your Richard Bland knowledge to the test. What is his team on Liv?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he's cliques. Isn't he a clique?
I don't know.
That's your favorite team. Well, we're going to find out before we move on. Let's find out where Richard Bland is. That's so goddamn funny. I wanted to pick Richard Bland, but he's not in the field. Richard Bland is... Oh, my God. How is this not the first thing that comes up when you Google Richard Bland? Richard Bland, live. I'm leaving all this in, too. We're leaving the honk in. We're leaving this in. Yeah, he's a clique, obviously. Cliques in DC.
Congrats on just knowing that. I can't keep up with like who Kevin Durant plays for, but you know who Richard Bland plays for.
He's a clique too. They just got signed. Okay, those are your picks to win the Open Championship. With that, it is now time for the Mad Golfer of the Week. It's brought to you by Piper Golf. Use promo code TURN10 at checkout. We're going to Royal Troon, and our Mad Golfer of the Week is Girl Power. She says, quote, if I get through this without laughing, yeah, there's no way I'm going to. This is the silliest Mad Golfer of the Week ever. But here we go. I got to get it together. I'm a professional broadcaster. What am I doing? Here we go. Can you do this? What's wrong? Why are we so giggly today? I don't understand. All right, here we go.
The second part. The second part of this is... It's
just, I know. It's just, I know. The punchline is so good. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I got it. Ugh. Room 109 bed was so hard, never slept well. The room was cold when we arrived. There was a noise from what sounded like a generator outside our window all night long. We were charged extra for part of our meal, which I had to be asked to be taken off. The breakfast was mediocre, bacon was cold, had high expectations for this hotel. The dinner was beautiful. Can't complain about that, but I don't think we'll be visiting again. So basically, Girl Power is very upset that a room at Royal Troon was not good. And here's Royal Troon's response. Thank you for taking the time to leave a review, but as we offer no accommodation at Royal Troon Golf Club, I believe your review may be intended for another local business. So Girl Power had a horrible night at what they thought was Royal Troon Golf Club, and in fact, Royal Troon does not offer any sleeping accommodations. Congrats to Girl Power. You are... the Mad Golfer of the Week. And with that, do you have any comments?
Of course I do. If you're at Royal Troon, you should know whether or not you're at Royal Troon, first of all. Like, you shouldn't get that confused. Second of all, God, I wish Royal Troon would have thrown somebody under the bus. Like,
I know.
It sounds like the Holiday Express down the street. You must have been at O'Connor's.
I mean, they had to be close to Royal Troon, right? They had to be exactly. In Scotland, you would think?
Yes.
Also, even funnier, typically these are one-star reviews. This was actually a two-star review. So I think it was because...
Can't complain about the dinner.
The dinner was nice. That got him an extra star. Girl power, congrats. You are the Mad Golfer of the Week. And with that, it is now time for Nick Rules. Brought to you by Matchstick Golf. Use promo code TURN20 at checkout.
Well, the fun and games are over. There's nothing funny about the rules of golf. And we got to take this section.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. So you're not on TikTok. Okay. This is relevant. I grabbed our breakfast ball comments and conversation from. You almost should download TikTok to see the vitriol that people responded with when we suggested that breakfast balls are bullshit. They said microphones are too expensive. Not every dork should have a podcast. I'm just trying to get away from my wife and have fun, buddy. Leave me alone. Like, it was very, very funny. So when you said the rules of golf are no laughing matter, that's what made me think about that. It was pretty funny. I digress.
Okay. Well, a lot of times on Nick Rules, I like to tie in the rule to like the relevant tournament coming up or a venue or something in recent memory that's happened. Well, this isn't really that. This was inspired by the presidential debate, which if you just got the recap from Instagram and you're a golfer, then all you saw was Trump and Biden arguing over their handicaps, which I thought was entertaining.
Episode of the turn basically broke out.
And also frightening. Yeah, exactly. It was the handicap report. But instead of it being a dorky podcast with microphones that are too inexpensive, it's the two candidates who are running for president. I digress. I also saw a video on Instagram. I think it was like Barstool people investigating sandbaggers, which I thought was pretty funny. I don't usually love a lot of the stuff that they do, but that one was pretty good. So I thought I would go into handicap scores, when to post them, what it means, and all this. So if you're not bored to sleep already, here we go. A score is acceptable for handicap purposes if the round has been played, and there's like six criteria here, in an authorized format of play over at least the minimum number of holes required for either a 9 or 18 hole score, which is anywhere between 9 and 18, not a scramble, basically, in the company of at least one other person who may also act as a marker. So they don't have to actually be playing, just somebody who can be like, I do solemnly swear that Nick just shot an 88.
So is this suggesting that if you don't have someone else with you, you can't post the score? I thought that was a change.
That is not a change. It has to meet all of these criteria to be acceptable. So if you play alone, that is not acceptable. I that is a rule of golf or rule of handicapping I break all the time. I mean, I post my rounds, whether or not somebody witnessed it or, you know,
I
don't care.
if we can pause here for a second, it's insane that that is a part of it, because what it is suggesting is that you need a person to validate your round, which is fine. But guess how handicap scores or scores with that affect your handicap get entered? By yourself on your phone. So what is to prevent a person from shooting an 84 and then changing it to an 80 something else on their phone? That doesn't make any sense. That's very hypocritical and stupid.
Right. Of all the scouts honor aspect of golf, like this would be the easiest thing to cheat. Like, right. Oh, I played with Joe. I can post whatever number I want. It's valid. No. Like if you're telling me to play by the rules of golf and do all these other things, like then I should be, you either trust me or you don't.
And, that's
like,
right.
Whether or not I'm posting certain rounds has nothing to do with it. So anyways, on a golf course with a slope and rating, that's a normal length. And they can't, like they put in here, the playing difficulty is maintained at a consistent level. So basically, like, they can't have the State Golf Association come in and rate it, like, set up for, like, open championship conditions and then, like, move the tees 100 yards forward and widen the fairways and all that, which is interesting. Again, like, nobody's governing that, but they're just trusting the course to maintain it, like, the product that they present. And then during its active season, so, like, the USGA won't let you post around in Idaho in December because they know you're not playing real golf at that time of year. In addition, the player's score must always be certified in accordance with the rules of handicapping. I don't know what those are. I didn't research that. But if one or more of the requirements set out above is not met, the score is not acceptable for handicap purposes. Now, I think even the more fun part, A player should submit their score as soon as possible on the day of play after completion of their round and before midnight local time. Just post the same day, people. If a player does not submit their score on the day of play, their handicap index will not be updated the next day. This is from the rules of golf. This is from the USGA, not from me. Their score will not be included in the daily playing conditions calculation.
Oh.
However, Joe, this might get you going a little bit. When a score is posted to the player's scoring record after the day of play and the PPC and the PCC has already been set, any PCC adjustment will still apply to the player's differential, even though their score did not influence the PCC. So basically, if you and I play together and you post your round and you get a PCC that makes your, 79 and 81, I could just be like, I'm not posting my score. But if it's the other way around, it turns your 79 to a 77, I can see that and say, okay, and go post my score and get a two-stroke discount.
We got to...
But it's a game of honor and integrity.
Of course. I told myself I wasn't going to email Gretchen a third time, but now I might have to. Poor Gretchen, who's
been
nice...
Wait a minute, Gretchen!
Gretchen's been nice enough to come in this podcast twice, and her reward is torture from me. An email every 3 weeks that her job is not going as well as I'd hoped.
I knew I should never respond to those guys.
And that is Nick Rules. Okay. This has been a sillier episode than I had anticipated. It's been great fun. The next episode is going to come out slightly later than usual because I'll be returning from Scotland. Nick, are you down to record on like the day after I get back? On Tuesday, July 23rd.
Yes.
You're going to Connecticut again or Chicago? No. Okay.
No, not going anywhere until ever. Just living in my basement from now on.
Perfect.
The lady at the damn ticket counter, I go up to her in Hartford and I said, we're going to miss our connection in Charlotte. And she goes, I don't have any options for you. And I just said,
what?
So I just live in Charlotte now?
You said that to her?
Yes. Like, I gave her plenty of time to be like, you can catch your flight tomorrow, or like, you can reroute you to. She just said, I have no options for you. Like, what does that even mean, lady? This is why I was so ecstatic
right.
with the woman in O'Hare.
Are these both Alaska Airlines employees?
No. Mm. The first was American. American was the worst. Every possible opportunity they had to screw something up, they took full advantage. And finally, we got to Chicago and they moved us from American to Alaska getting home, and things could not have been better.
This has been Flight Talk with Nikki and Joe. Have fun at the Open Championship, and we'll talk soon, everybody.
I'm Lacey Evans. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time at The Turn.